prediction, like the bear market, quote unquote, is over, right? I think I'm much better at operating on like a quarterly basis. If you want my two cents, I think for the next couple months, I think I expect crypto to go up. I know we're running into some resistance around here around the 80K level. I forgot to publish this in the newsletter. One thing I need to do and do a better job of is publish the talking about like the other side of the coin, right? I've been talking about how I'm bullish. I have all these expectations for how Bitcoin funding is low. Bitcoin funding is low relative to altcoins. You can see people willing to risk on in altcoins, which I believe people's willing data showing that people are willing to risk on into altcoins is a strong signal, right? That's it, just tells you that there's risk appetite on the table too. I just think that this is a shakeout right now. I think we're just, you know, I've been talking about this for a while. This 76K to 80K level is going to be the big level that we have to break through. And there's going to be probably some chop in it. And what happened was that Bitcoin got into the 80K level and then you had a lot of leverage jump on. You know, you saw the altcoin market starting to wake up a little bit. And that becomes like a recipe for things to get a little bit tricky, right? Where you have a lot of people risking on when we actually haven't broken through the level. And, you know, another thing I've been talking about as well is that, you know, we've had decreasing volatility for crypto in general, Bitcoin and alts for the past 6 months as well as prices bled out, right? So as that's going on, you want to see eventually the uppercut. You want to see the move that's like, okay, volatility is no longer dying and it's back on the menu. And not just these one-time volatility spikes when there's huge deleveraging events, right? Like the one that happened in October of last year, the one that happened around Thanksgiving, right before we, I think right when we did our call, basically the market rugged. And then we had another one in February this year, right? Those are like one-time, one-off volatility events. What you really want is just an uptrending of volatility, right? That's what people come to crypto for. We've talked about that before, right? We just have not had that decisive move up from Bitcoin. So until that happens and you're sitting around this 80K level, there's just a lot of friction. Like there's a lot of uncertainty. People are not convinced quite yet. So yeah, I do think I do have a bullish bent moving for the next couple months.
Yes, I see. I mean, the point that you brought up, you know, when comparing to other crypto assets, very few people are longing BTC with leverage, and like altcoins are sort of more leveraged in that sense. I mean, that kind of goes to show that there's some risk appetite, but then also it could make you skeptical as well. You know, like why aren't people leveraging up on the king? You know, like do some of the big whales know more, you know? And that's always the question. Like, do they know more? Probably not. But like, you know, it just goes to show like when it comes to BTC itself, people are still quite skeptical, you know, like it's also funding rates. I mean, they've been decisively negative for so long. They just recently flipped positive again, but it's just not that they decisively flipped positive. So all these things are telling us this, at least when you look at BTC, and I feel like BTC would be the one running the course as a first, you know, as the first leader. People are still kind of you know, they're not putting the foot on the pedal, so to say, you know, like in that sense.
Yeah, I think just because it's been a grind up, right? Like I said, people get uneasy. And I think a lot of people, when you get these type of moves up, when it's a grind up, it's hard to have conviction when it's not obvious, right? So when you start printing 5 to 10% daily candles or something like that, and the volatility kicks in, that's when people start showing some courage. And, you know, that's really ideally not the time you want to be showing the courage. Ideally, you want to break the bear trend quietly, and then you give the uppercut. And that's where I think we are. I think we quietly have broken the bear trend, just waiting for the uppercut. But in terms of, you know, BTC getting moving up with negative funding, I think it's just like, you know, it's just a healthy spot bid is my guess at this point, right? I think that's, I'm completely okay with that. And like I said, it's once the proof is obvious, that's when people become heroes and start jumping on the leverage. And the reality is, despite the fact that altcoins have had a ramp up in leverage, it's been nothing crazy. And you have to keep in mind that altcoin derivative markets, like perpetual swap markets, are dead. Like they've been absolutely massacred. There's just like not much leverage left in the system. And then the other thing, I've shared this metric in some of my other articles. There has been a confident willingness for people to hold on to their perpetual swap positions. I don't know if you've seen this chart in some of my other articles, but it is very clear to me that people are willing to hold on to their long positions. And they've been doing that since like mid 60K level. So it's been going on for a while now. So I think there's just like a quiet, confident base of holders, even in derivatives markets. So that's another thing to keep in mind. Yeah, I think we're in a healthy spot. And I think I would consider myself wrong if we got a weekly close below 76K. I think that's when I'd be like, okay, forget it. You know, maybe I go back to the drawing board and figure out what's going on. And that's the whole thing with doing analysis of markets and looking at metrics is one thing, but like moving it into execution and putting it in, getting on the scoreboard are like two different things that you have to finally merge together, which is why I do the newsletter, right? It's kind of like scratching that itch for myself, not only for readers, but I do it for myself. For me, it's like a learning process as well. But so I think that's where my head's at.
Makes a ton of sense. The same for me with the newsletter. Usually you write for yourself, you know, and you want to let other people be able to partake in your thought process and reasoning. So, I mean, very interesting. You mentioned the spot-driven rally, you know, and the healthy spot that BTC is at. I mean, intuitively, I would agree, because that's kind of what you feel like. You know, there's all the macro uncertainty that we're running up at 200-day moving average and all these things. And Bitcoin, you know, it's not decisively going through it and breaking through it, but it's also not like really bumping up against it and now reversing. So it feels like sort of it doesn't want to go down yet, or it doesn't want to go up yet, you know. So obviously we don't know, but you had this very interesting chart. I'm going to show it here in a second, you know. But like the, you know, in your recent newsletter, you had this ROI delta versus returns. Can you maybe high level explain what you try to do there, and then we maybe look at each quadrant and why sort of what these quadrants mean, you know? Is that something you can explain?
Yeah, we can talk about that. So for at a high level, the ROI delta, that can be confusing given the way I named it. It is returns minus OI delta, or returns minus open interest delta. So what I took was I took the 90-day average return for altcoins and I compared it to the 90-day change for the average altcoin perpetual swap open interest, right? And the reality is that, you know, the returns are driven by price, right? And then you also have open interest denominated in dollars driven by price and the number of contracts that are open. So when you, even though it's not, the math is not perfect, it's a good proxy for if you take, considering both of them take price into account, they kind of cancel each other out. So what you're left with is actually the directional flows of contracts opening and closing for altcoins in perpetual swap markets, right? And normally, this is actually a very difficult calculation to come up with, which is why the best you can do really is a proxy, right? Because if you're comparing BTC open interest versus ETH open interest, ETH open interest is denominated in ETH, right? And BTC open interest is denominated in BTC. So you can't mix those native units together, right? Otherwise, it just starts to become a jumbled mess, right? Because, you know, ETH has a much larger supply than Bitcoin, or you have like something like XRP has an infinite supply, right? So obviously, the amount of units sitting in the open interest on the perpetual swap markets are going to probably be way larger than whatever you have for Bitcoin, right? In native units. So yeah, that's kind of what you're really going for. So what that ROI delta really shows you is the contract, the perpetual swap contract flow for altcoin markets at large. Is the general idea.
And the OI delta, can you kind of summarize this again? Like, what is the delta? Is it like positions closed and open? And then sort of, can you kind of explain this again? Like, what is the delta?
What I'm saying is it's really risk, it's returns minus, I'm calling it the delta between returns and OI, but yeah, it's basically the simple thing is that ROI delta is just the amount of contracts that are flowing in and out of the market. So if you get a positive value, right, because you're doing returns minus OI, if returns are greater than the change in OI, that signals to you that over that time period, that contract's probably closed, right? And when do contracts close? Contracts close during liquidation events generally, right? Somebody's offsides one way or the other. That happens when the market rugs or when shorts get blown out when price goes upwards, right? That's like the two big gaps between the two. And then it goes vice versa for when the delta goes negative. When open interest increases more than returns, that means people are getting levered up, right? And that can mean people are shorting the lows or getting long as they become, right? Like I said, they gain courage as price breaks out and people decide they want to become heroes. And there's like in the article, I kind of concluded with one of the big takeaways is obviously when you create these metrics and you go through all the analysis, people are like, where are we at right now though? Who cares? Like, this is a cool study. Who cares? Where are we at right now? And the reality is right now we have positive 90-day returns and we have a positive ROI delta. And because we have a positive ROI delta, it tells you that people are not really levering up that much right now across the market. You know, even though things are, you know, heating up just a little bit, if you really zoom out things are really not that overheated. I would say things are actually looking as healthy as they have in a very long time. The last time we had this type of setup was the post BTC ETF approval, which was in October, November 2023. Mm-hmm. You know, and it's like literally this setup became obvious like the past week or so. So early innings, and obviously nothing's ever guaranteed, but
yeah. No, that's exactly well explained. I mean, I have the chart here, you know, and it's really like, as you said, now if you have these OI sort of net position being closed down, you know, then and at the same time you have positive returns, that's sort of an indication, as you said, it's a spot driven rally. And then again, if you have like returns negative, but positions are still closed, it's kind of deleveraging that you mentioned, you know, driven by the drawdown. And then again, if the opposite is sort of the case, and you have like the RO, also the OI delta negative, which means like more positions are being added in terms of OI, that kind of means you have either when it's positive returns, as you say here, it's a leverage driven rally usually happening towards maybe the some local top or maybe the global top, or it's in an environment where people are just have acknowledged it's full out bear, you know, and you just want to kind of short as much as possible and at any time, you know. And that's why OI is also increasing with shorts piling up, and you have still negative returns, you know, because shorts are sort of in the right, you know.
Yeah they're getting rewarded, right? They don't really get punished, right? One of the biggest times that you actually saw them get punished, and might be part of the reason why the ETF rally was so successful and pumped so hard, is that you had that period all the way throughout 2023 for like all the summer leading into the fall before the ETFs got approved, where you had negative 90-day returns and negative ROI delta, right? So you had bad returns and people getting complacent shorting, basically. And then the price broke out and the market went crazy, right? And that's how you get a spot-driven rally and you get a bunch of contracts closing, is that all these shorts just got blown out for months afterwards, right?
Yeah.
You can see it in the charts. And so, you know, that can happen when people get too cozy in their short positioning.
No, amazing. Thanks for explaining it to me. I just wanted to bring this up because when I was reading the article, I felt like, wow, that was quite eye-opening to me, you know, because you hear that term a lot, like a spot-driven rally. And then people are looking at what is a spot-driven rally, you know, how can we even assess? And now you were like the first guy, the first dude putting some actual numbers to that and trying to explain it with a metrics that, at least to my eye, it makes a ton of sense, you know. And then you have like sort of two metrics that you can compare, and then if you see, okay, this is actually lining up, then you can, maybe not with certainty, nothing, there's never certainty in our world, but with high confidence conclude, okay, this is actually maybe a spot driven rally, you know, as we're seeing right now. And so I encourage everyone to go read this article. I'll link it in the show notes. And it's just exploring crypto market regimes by using 90-day returns and 90-day change in perpetual swap open interest.
A mouthful,
but yeah.